The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Yossi Rosenfeld.
Bruchim Habayim, today we're going to be learning Simon Mem Zayin, the Kitzur calls Hilchos Stam Yenam Vehechshir Akelim Mimenu, the Halachos of Stam Yenam, which is wine purchased from a non-Jew, and Kashering Kelim, making Kelim kosher again, that were used with wine from a non-Jew. Let's see Halacha Aleph. Stam Yenam Bizmanazeh. Stam Yenam, in our times, Stam Yenam means regular wine which one purchases from a non-Jew, as opposed to Yayin Nesach, wine which is actually poured to Avodah Zarah, poured in idol worship. Stam Yenam means that we don't know specifically that this wine was used in any form of idol worship. So that's called Stam Yenam. It's regular wine that one buys from a non-Jew. So again, Stam Yenam Bizmanazeh, regular wine that one would purchase from a non-Jew during our times. V'chein Maga Nochvi B'yayin Shalanu, and also if a non-Jew would touch our wine. Maga Nochvi B'yayin Shalanu, when a non-Jew touches our wine, would also prohibit it with the halacha of Stam Yenam. Yesh Omrim Deino Asur Rak B'shtia V'lo Bahana. There's an opinion that it's only forbidden to drink it and not to benefit from it. The Kitzur is saying the following. If one looks at the Gemara in the source of the rabbinic decree of Stam Yenam, Chazal, the rabbis forbade Stam Yenam even with Hana, even to get benefit from it, even if he's not actually consuming it. There's an opinion that Bizmanazeh, in our times, where the Gentiles of our times are not so attached to Avodah Zarah, not so attached to actual idolatry, so maybe the Gezeirah, maybe the rabbinic enactment is now somewhat more lenient in the sense that the Gentiles now will not, they're not going to forbid their wine with Hana. It's not forbidden to actually benefit from it. It's only forbidden to drink the wine, because now the Goyim Bizmanazeh, the Gentiles of our times, are not so attached to idolatry, and therefore their wine is not forbidden to have Hana. It's not forbidden to have benefit from. It's not similar to Avodah Zarah. It's not similar to something which was used in idolatry, which has an Isser Hana, which is forbidden to have benefit from. Rather, it's only also in Shitiya, it's only forbidden to actually drink it. Because it continues, V'lachin mutzal Yisrael ligvos b'chovo Stam Yenam. Therefore, it's permitted for a Jew to collect a debt from Stam Yenam, to collect a debt from regular wine he would take from a non-Jew. Mipnei dahavi k'matzal mideyam, because it's like he's saving money from the hands of the non-Jew, because if he wouldn't be able to collect the debt with Stam Yenam, with wine, very often that would be his only recourse. In certain cases, that his only recourse to collect the debt, to collect debts from a non-Jew, would be to take wine. So therefore, for the sake of being able to collect the debt, we allow him to buy the wine, but collect the wine for the debt and then resell it to another non-Jew. Vuadin b'sharhef. So the same would apply if there would be some other monetary loss that he would be allowed to have benefit from Stam Yenam, from this wine acquired from a non-Jew. Kigon im avar v'kana. If a person transgressed the halacha, if he went against the halacha and bought wine from a non-Jew. Again, kigon im avar v'kana. If someone transgressed the halacha and actually bought wine from a non-Jew, he would be allowed to resell it. He'd be allowed to have benefit from that wine by selling it to another non-Jew. Aval lechatchila, however, ideally in a lechatchila situation, setting up the situation initially, Also, liknos kedila histakirbo. One may not purchase for the sake of doing business with it. One may not purchase wine from a non-Jew for the sake of buying and then reselling at a profit. It's only when he had no other recourse, like the examples of the kitzur, he had to collect a debt, or from by mistake he bought the wine, then he could resell it. But we don't let him initially buy the wine for the sake of reselling it and doing business with it. The kitzur continues, v'yish mekilin gam bazeh. There are those who are lenient about doing business with stam yenam. You can even initially get benefit from it. You can set up your business that you will buy and sell wine from a non-Jew. Again, v'yish mekilin gam bazeh. There are those who are lenient about getting benefit l'chatchila, even initially one can set himself up to get benefit from stam yenam. But it's better to be stringent and not initially set oneself up that he's going to get benefit from stam yenam, rather in a case which is more b'diavad, after the fact, like he has no other way to collect his debt unless he collects the stam yenam, the wine from the non-Jew, or if he made the mistake of buying it. Those are the only situations that the kitzur is saying one should be lenient. Let's see halacha beis. Mutar lasos merchatz mistam yenam. One is allowed to make a bath from stam yenam, from wine, from a non-Jew. L'chola she'en bo sakana. For someone who is sick, even though he's not dangerously ill, he just has some sort of ailment that affects his entire body. Now he's sick to the point that he's bedridden, and now that bath with wine would somehow form like a medicinal purpose. It would heal him from his sickness, even though that's a benefit from the stam yenam, from the wine, for the sake of removing the sickness, for the sake of healing himself. One is allowed to use stam yenam of a goy, this wine from a non-Jew. Let's see halacha gimel. Yain kosher shen is bashel. If one had kosher wine from a Jew that was cooked, danu shir tiach, that means that he boiled up the wine. V'nismaid mimidaso aydei harasicha, and now he has less amount of wine through the boiling up. Some of the wine evaporated, and now he has less wine through cooking the wine. Imnaga banochri mutra afila bishtia. If a non-Jew touches that wine, it's even permitted to drink it. A non-Jew will not make the wine prohibited if it was cooked. However, wine that they put lana, which is like a bitter ingredient, it's translated as the wormwood herb, the herb called wormwood. Again, avayayin shenosnu l'socho lana, this wine that they put wormwood into, he says in the parentheses, vermouth, which is in English is vermouth. Kol sheshem yayin olav v'lonez bashal nasar. As long as it's called wine and it hasn't been cooked, meaning as long as people consider this as being wine, and there was no cooking done to this vermouth, nesar, that's forbidden. Even a bitter wine is considered wine. It's only not considered wine if it was actually cooked. Let's see, halacha dalid. Tafshal shiayin mu'urabo. If one has a dish that he mixed wine into it, ve'enenu nikr, and it's not recognizable in the dish, afilo adayin lo hirtiach, even before the point that he actually cooked up the dish, so it wasn't mevushal, it wasn't cooked yet, it's not forbidden with the guy touching it, with the Gentile touching it, because once it's mixed into a dish, it's considered to be part of the dish. It's not considered to be wine anymore. It's not forbidden if a guy would touch such a dish. The Rama in the Shulchan Aruch adds that's only where the wine is not floating on top. It's not noticeable on top of the dish. If the wine is nicker, if it's discernible on top of the dish, it would be forbidden, because then it's like the wine stands on its own. It's only when it's mixed in and it's not recognizable, then it's permitted. It's not considered to be wine anymore. Let's see, Alocha, hey, Yayin Mazik, if one had diluted wine, he diluted it with water. Im yesh bo shisha chalakim mayim, if it has 6 parts water to 1 part wine, batal hayayin, the wine is considered to be nullified, it's not considered wine anymore. Vinunasar b'maga nachri, it's not forbidden with the guy touching it, if it's so diluted that the 6 parts water to wine. Aval yayin simukim, however, raisin wine, Dahanish nosun mayim alatzimukim, if you put water on raisins, harezek yayin gomer, that has a halacha of regular wine. Raisin wine, even though it's a little bit less strong than regular wine, raisin wine has the halacha of wine. But if it's very diluted, 6 parts water to 1 part wine, it's not considered wine anymore. The Kitzur adds in parentheses, I am the Kaman Sof Simon Nun Gimel. That's in Simon Nun Gimel Halacha Vav. He talks about there how to make raisin wine that would be considered to be wine. There he's talking in terms of the bracha of Hagafen. And the same would apply in terms of being wine for the sake of being forbidden with the guy touching it. Raisin wine has the halacha of wine if it was made according to the process he describes there. Again, in Simon Nun Gimel Halacha Vav. Let's see halacha vav. Hatemed, one has temed. The Kitzur describes what it is. The hanu mayim shnosin ala chartzanim, which is water that one puts on grape seeds, o ala shmarim, or on the sediment from the wine barrel, and it creates something which is similar to wine by adding water to this to these leftovers from the wine barrel. Or on the wine seeds, the grape seeds. Kol shu meshubach l'shtia, as long as it's meshubach for drinking, it's appropriate for drinking, that one would consider it to be a wine beverage. En lahatiro umnoga banochri. One should not permit it if a non-Jew touched it. The Shulchan Aruch explains that's because it will be confused with actual wine, even though it's a little bit weaker than regular wine. This beverage made by pouring water on top of the sediment or on the grape seeds, but because it looks like wine and people consider it to be similar to wine, one should not drink such wine if a non-Jew touched it. Let's see, Alocha Zayin. Anovim deruchos begigis. If one has grapes that were pressed in a barrel, let's just describe what this looks like. You have a big vat, a big barrel or vat, where the grapes were placed. There would be like an outlet where ultimately the wine would flow out of into some holding pit. So if one has grapes that are being pressed in this big vat, at what point does the wine, does that pressed grapes turn into wine? Again, another druchos begigas. One was pressing grapes in this big vat. Kevin shenimshach memenu yayin afilu ma'at. Once some of the wine starts flowing out, there's an outlet that the wine flows through. So once some of the wine starts flowing through, even a little bit of wine starts flowing out from that vat it was pressed in. O sheshav memenu yayin bekli, or even if it didn't flow out yet, but if he took out some wine in a vessel, he drew out wine in a vessel, maybe he made himself a cup of wine from that grape juice in the vat. Nikra hakol yayin, the entire product in that vat is considered to be wine. Everything which is in the vat is now considered to be wine. Vanessa b'maganachri, it's prohibited if a guy would touch it, if a non-Jew would touch it. Afilu lo noga ela b'chartzanim u'bizogim. Even if the non-Jew only touched the grape seeds, the grape pulp, as long as some of the wine has started flowing, or if he took out some of that juice into a cup or into a vessel, that's considered the entire product inside the vat. Inside that vat is considered to be wine. And therefore, gigias anovim druchos, the vats of grapes that were pressed, omdos vives nachri, which are in a non-Jew's house, yesh lasor, we should forbid that, even though we don't know specifically that the wine started flowing from it. If one has pressed grapes in a non-Jewish house, one should forbid that initial stage of the winemaking. One should not take from such a vat that has pressed grapes. Shema himshich mimena. Maybe some of the wine started flowing out of that vat, and therefore has a halacha of wine. So one should not use the grapes that were pressed in a non-Jew's house. Va'asa lidrach aydei nachri. It's forbidden to press grapes together with a non-Jew. Afila begigas pikuka. Even if the vat is plugged, even if the outlet for the wine is plugged, and you know certainly the wine has not started flowing, because it is a plug there, there's no way for the wine to flow out, still, there's a gzera, we're concerned if you would permit that, you might also permit if the outlet was unplugged. Therefore, even if it's plugged, we forbid to use such wine that the non-Jew was involved with in the stamping and the processing of that wine. Let's see halacha ches. Yesh li zoher melahotzi es hachasanim va'azogim min hagitos. One should be careful from taking out the grape seeds and grape pulp from the gitos, from the wine press, ayidei nachri, through a non-Jew. One should not remove the seeds or pulp through a non-Jew. Afilu la'acha shotziu mehem yayin rishon v'sheni, even after they took out the first or second batch of wine, meaning they would press the grapes multiple times. Their initial pressing would yield the most wine. Then they would press it a second time. See, even after it was pressed twice, and most of the wine has been squeezed out, one should not have a non-Jew remove the remnants, the seeds of the pulp that's left in the wine press. Ki shema yesh aleihem o tofeach yayin, because maybe there's still some moisture of wine. Even after the wine has been pressed twice, it could be with that grape seed or grape pulp, there'd be a little bit of liquid, which has the halacha of wine, and therefore one should not have the guy, have the non-Jew take out that pulp because there might be wine mixed into it, and he would forbid that wine, which is still on the seeds or the pulp that the non-Jew is removing. Let's see halacha test. Nachri sheshafach mayim l'toch hayayin. If a non-Jew poured water into wine, in this kavin lemozgo, if his intention was to dilute the wine, he wanted to make a drink of wine that was diluted with water. Also, Vishtiya is forbidden to drink it. The reason is we're concerned in such a case that the non-Jew might touch the wine. The imlonis kavin lemozgo, however, if he didn't have intention to dilute the drink, fafilu hu sofik, even if it's doubtful, if we're not sure if he had the intention to dilute it or just for some other reason to add water, muta, then is permitted. It's only when the non-Jew intended to dilute the drink, we're concerned that he touched it, and therefore that's the only case it would be forbidden if he actually was intending, if we know specifically he was intending to dilute it. Otherwise, even if we're not sure what his intention was, it would be permitted. Let's see halacha yud. Chametz yayin, shenasim yayin kosher. If you have vinegar made from kosher wine, from wine made by a Jew, and then it turned into vinegar, and mulchaza kolkach, if it's so strong, such a strong vinegar, shemibabeya, that it bubbles, kishishov chenosa ala aretz, when they pour it on the ground, it starts bubbling. Shuv inu nesa b'magon nochri. It's not forbidden if a guy touches it. If a guy touches this vinegar that was made from kosher wine, he would not make it forbidden. It's not considered wine anymore. Aval imnasim istam yenam. However, if the vinegar was made from a non-Jew's wine, lolam hu bisuro, it always stays forbidden. If a non-Jew made wine, even if he turned it into vinegar, it stays as with the halacha of being asur, it's still forbidden. However, if there was kosher wine and if it turned into vinegar and it's so strong that it bubbles when they put it on the ground, a goy would not prohibit that. It's not considered wine anymore. Once it turns into vinegar, it can't get the halacha of stam yenam. If it was previously wine, it doesn't lose its prohibition. However, If it was never prohibited before, and the non-Jew touches it once it's turned into the strong vinegar, it doesn't become also, it does not become forbidden. Let's see Halacha Yud Aleph. V'chein yayin sarf sh'nasa mistam yenam. If one would make a brandy from non-Jewish wine, v'chein me'achartzanim v'azogim, also if you make a brandy from the seeds of the pulp, v'ashmarim, or the dregs of wine, he makes this liquor. Harehu kiyayin atzmo, it has the halacha of wine, it retains the halacha of wine, even though it was turned from wine into brandy. Aval hanasim yayin kosher, but if it was made from kosher wine, if you made brandy from kosher wine, az la'achar shenasa yayin sarif in maga nochri osro. After it was made into brandy, if a non-Jew would touch it, he does not forbid it. He does not make it osur. It's a similar distinction to the halacha before this, that brandy made from kosher wine is not considered wine anymore. The guy cannot make it osur. The guy does not forbid it. He doesn't make that brandy forbidden. However, if the wine was previously osur, if the brandy was made from non-kosher wine, then it stays osur. It stays forbidden. Let's see halacha yud beis. Weinstein is tartar. It's like a residue you'll find when wine is fermented. You'll find the residue on the wine barrels. That's called tartar. So it's like this residue you'll find on the wine barrels. It's called tartar or cream of tartar. Weinstein, this pashut hamidik lahatir, it's become common practice to permit it. It's mutter. Kevin she'en bo hanal lechich, since there's no pleasure in eating such a thing, since it's like a chalky taste, doesn't taste like wine anymore, it doesn't have the halach of wine, and therefore the custom was to use tartar from non-Jews. Let's see halacha yud gimel. Maga nochri ayidei davar acher. If the non-Jew touches it through some medium, let's say he used a stick or something else to touch the wine, v'chein haba mikocho, and also if the wine was affected by the power of the non-Jew, that he did something to the wine without actually touching it, his force made the wine pour out, but he didn't actually touch the wine. Yaseh she'elas chacham, one should ask a competent halacha authority. There's many distinctions in halacha when indirect touching of a non-Jew forbids the wine, and when the wine is still permitted. So one should ask a halacha authority: when is it mutzah? When is it also? When is it permitted? When is it forbidden? Let's see halacha yadalad. Hashaleach yain aydei nachri. Someone that sends wine through a non-Jew. Tzorach lashkiach heitev. He has to be very careful. Anywhere where there's a spigot or a stopper, that there's an opening that has a spigot there or a stopper to close it up. You must seal it with two seals. This is related to the halacha we saw in Simen Mem Vav, halacha tezayin. The wine needs two seals if it's sent with a non-Jew. So therefore, those parts of the wine which are open, the spigot, the stopper, it has to be sealed with a double seal when it's being transported by a non-Jew. Let's see halacha tezvav. Yisrael she'osu yeno she'nachri behechsher. If a Jew went into a non-Jewish production of wine to make it kosher, again, Yisrael also you know shenachi behechsher. Yisrael is making non-Jewish wine in a kosher way. He's going into a non-Jewish plant and doing a kosher run. Kedei lemochro achakach liyisraelim. He wants to sell it to Jews, meaning he wants to take over the non-Jewish factory for some period and make kosher wine. He'll do it himself in the non-Jewish venue. Yesh bazeh kamach chiluki dinim. There's many distinctions in halacha. How to keep the wine guarded that the non-Jew shouldn't break into it. For the famim afilu shnei chosamos, sometimes even if it has a double seal, the gamavteach lo mahani, and even a lock will not permit it. It would still be forbidden even if it's sealed up well, even if it's locked up. For tzorach lishol lemora harua kedos malasos, one should ask a competent halachic authority how to deal with such a situation if the Jew went into a non-Jewish production facility. For someone who's careful about his spiritual well-being would distance himself from such wine. He would not get involved in using such wine because of the concern of the non-Jew breaking into it. Therefore, he should only buy from a Jewish facility. Let's see, Halacha Tezayin. Kelim shel stam yenam, the vessels used for holding this non-Jewish wine. If the normal use of these vessels is only to hold wine for a short time, if the way these vessels are used, they're used for a short-term storage of wine, and also the wine was not held in them for a period of 24 hours. If these vessels are used for short-term storage, and it wasn't, if they didn't hold the wine for 24 hours also, meaning the nature of the vessel itself is it's used for short-term storage, and also we know it wasn't held there for 24 hours. We're not aware that it was held there for 24 hours. Bein shem shel or, whether it's made from leather, bein shem shel eitz, whether it's made from wood, v'shel zchuchis, whether it's made from glass, v'shel evin, whether it's made from stone, v'shel matechus, or it's made from metal. And if it doesn't have a layer of tar or a layer of pitch on the inside of the vessel, he washes it well three times in water. It's permitted if he washes it well three times, one can use such a vessel that's made for short-term storage and it didn't hold the wine for 24 hours. If it has pitch or tar inside, the halacha would be different, and the halacha of an earthenware vessel is different. Those halachas are discussed in the Shulchan Aruch, Simin Kuf Lamed Hey, by if it has earthenware or a pitch or tar inside. Let's see halacha Yud Zayin. The kids here will discuss the halacha of kelim, vessels used for long-term storage of wine. Kelim ha'asuyim lahachnas behem yayin l'kiyim, vessels used for long-term storage of wine. How is that defined? Tehainu shemiyachdin osan, that they're designated lahatzik b'hem yayin, to hold wine, l'chol ha'pachos shlosh yomim, they at least hold the wine for 3 days. They're used for holding the wine for 3 days or more. That's a long-term storage vessel. Alfa pi sha'akili hu shel Yisrael, even though the vessel belongs to a Jew, v'nochi hechzik bo siyayin rak zman mu'at, and the non-Jew only kept the wine there for a short time, but nevertheless, because these are long-term storage vessels, and generally there is a bliya, there is absorption into their walls because they're made for long-term storage. So even if in this instance the non-Jew only kept the wine for a short time, nevertheless it needs the hefsher of iroi. The kitzur describes the hefsher. What's the hefsher of iroi? Of pouring water in. That you fill the vessel with water up to its top. The entire vessel is full of water. You should leave it there 24 hours full of water. And then you pour out that first batch of water. You put a second batch of water in this vessel. V'yamad kach l'chol ha'pachos me'is le'is. It should stay like that again for the second time for 24 hours. V'chin osa pam shlishis, also for the third time he empties out the second batch, puts in the third batch, leaves it there for 24 hours. That would be the hechsher of these vessels used for long-term storage of wine. V'ein tzrichin sheyu agimel me'is le'is davka ritzufin. It's not necessary that the three periods of 24 hours should be consecutive. You could do it one day, you could do it the next one a couple of days later, the third one a couple of days later. They don't have to be three consecutive periods of 24 hours. You just need a total of three 24-hour periods where it was full of water and then poured out. If he kept the water there for a number of days without pouring it out, even if it was, let's say, 72 hours where he kept the water in it, That only counts as one period of 24 hours. You have to actually switch the water to start over to be considered another 24-hour period. You need three switchings of the water to be considered this kashering of the vessels used for long-term storage of wine. The kitzin continues, Yesh orim demayayin hayolo me'es le'es. There's an opinion, if we know specifically the wine held it for was held in this vessel for 24 hours, Lomas kasher b'iroi. One cannot do the hechsher, this hechsher of iroi, of filling it with water and pouring out. Mishum dekavish kemevushal, because if it's kavish, if it's soaked there, if it's sitting there for 24 hours, that is, it didn't like it was cooked. Uboy hagala, it requires to be kashered with hot water, like something that had a proper blia, proper absorption of non-kosher. This opinion is saying it's only in a regular case. We don't know specifically that the wine was held there for 24 hours, even though generally these vessels are used for long-term storage of wine. But if we don't know specifically it held wine for 24 hours, you can do the hechsher of iroya, filling it up with water and then emptying it out. But if you know specifically that this vessel held the wine for 24 hours, then one would need a proper kashering through hagola, through using hot water. And this hechsher, this kashering of using cold water to fill it up and switch it three times, would not work unless he doesn't know specifically that it held wine for 24 hours. If it held wine for 24 hours, one needs a proper hechsher of hagola, using hot water. It continues, if it's not a tremendous need, one should be stringent, one should be machmir, that if you know specifically that these vessels were used for a period of meis la'eis, that held wine for 24 hours, one should not do the kashering of iroya, filling it with cold water and pouring it out. And again, according to this second opinion, the only time one could use this hechsher of putting it in, the kashering of putting in cold water and pouring it out, is only where he doesn't know specifically it held wine for 24 hours, even though they're storage vessels made for holding wine for 3 days generally, but he doesn't know specifically it was used for a 24-hour period. If he knows it was used specifically for a 24-hour period, he would have to kasher through hagola, through hot water. And again, the Kitzur says if it's not a tremendous need, one should be stringent to kasher with hagala, with hot water, if he knows that the wine was held in it for a period of 24 hours. Let's see, halacha yudches. Kalei zechuchis, glass vessels, kevin shem chalak and vikashim, since they're smooth and they're hard. Afavisha machnisin behem yayin lekiyim, even though one left the wine there for long-term storage, it's enough just to rinse it three times. You don't even have to keep the water there for a long time. You don't even need to do the hechsher of iri we described before. As long as you wash it out three times, if the vessels are made from glass has very little absorption. You just wash it out three times, rinse it well three times, and then the vessels are considered to be kosher. Let's see, halacha yutes. Keli shayabo yayin shalanu, a vessel that had a Jewish wine in it, v'iras hayayin, they poured out the wine, now it's basically empty. The vessel was still tofeach amanas latfiach, it still had moisture, that if one would touch that moisture, he could make something else wet from the residue of wine. Nagasham nachri, if the non-Jew touched that wine with this slight residue of wine, but the wine was basically poured out. It's enough to kasher it, make it kosher by rinsing it out three times. Even though this vessel is normally used for long-term storage, then normally the wine is stored in this for a long time. Because the wine was basically poured out, it's just a small residue of wine that was left. Then with this leniency, one can just wash it out. He doesn't have to actually fill it up with water and let it stand. He could just rinse it out three times. That would make such a vessel kosher for just a small residue of wine that was left over. Let's see, halacha chaf. Had mahani hadacha o iroi. That which we say that rinsing it out or leaving the water for the 3 24-hour periods would kasher the vessel. Zok shlomish tamish b'yayin rak b'tzon. And that's only when the wine was used without any heat. It was just a cold holding of wine. However, if he used the wine with heat, if he heated up the wine in these vessels, it needs to be kashered with hot water, like other cases of kashering from forbidden foods, that if any time heat was used, he needs to kasher with hot water. Let's see, chaf aleph, klei agas, the vessels used in a wine press. Even though one does not keep the wine there for a long time, he just presses it and then the wine leaves. Because they use wine in abundance, they're constantly using a lot of wine in the wine press itself. They have astringency to these vessels. You need to ask competent halachic authority how to kasher them, because it's constantly pressing the wine. One has to get the proper halachic guidance how to kasher them. It has a certain stringency because it's always using an abundance of wine through pressing the grapes. Let's see halacha chavdeis. Kalakim sheyoshna yud beis chodesh. Vessels that were 12 months old, they haven't been used for the last 12 months. Mutarim, they're permitted. Certainly, any moisture of wine has dissipated after 12 months. Even if you used it with water within those 12 months, that doesn't make a difference. The water doesn't reset the clock, so to speak, and if it hasn't been used for 12 months, then the vessels are permitted. For more information about these halachas, there's three articles on the website of Kisa 365 about serving wine to a non-Jew, about pasteurized wine, and about liquor that's put in sherry casks, which is a halachic issue with the sherry casks that are used.